share some thoughts, okay? We all live just one heartbeat away from eternity. Is that the truth? I heard something on the tape this morning, on the CD, so I had to look it up. And it's in 1 Corinthians 3:19. And I thought, this is some bad news. You want to hear good news? This is not good at all. It says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God.
Bad news.
That is bad news, isn't it? It's good news, but it's bad news. It depends on how you look at it. And then in verse 20, it says, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. And then in verse 21, it says, therefore, let no man glory in men. And then in 1 Corinthians 1:31, it says, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Well, it's been a strange week, but a good week. It's been a good, we've had a good time. And the real prophet of God, you know what we are becoming and what we will become is prophets. The real prophet of God always said the same thing, and here's what it was. Hear the word of the Lord. The false prophets always said, hear the words of men. Is that the truth? Men hated the real prophets because they would not tell them what they wanted to hear. And I was thinking about this. I mean, been there, done that. I watched as somebody only wanted the prophets to support the things that they believed. I was there. I watched it. And if anything was brought that opposed the doctrines or the thinking of the ones in charge, they were disfellowshipped. And if they supported the doctrines and the beliefs and the things that we were hearing, they were praised. You follow what I'm saying? And you know what? I don't want that in this church. As a matter of fact, I don't think, for the most part, I don't think that anybody here really understands me. And maybe we don't understand each other yet, but there's something inside of me. I am not offended if you oppose me. That does not offend me. And I'll tell you why. I have been wrong so many times that what are the chances I'm right this time? You know why we have this thing where the prophets are speak two by two, you know, two or three, and then the others judge? It says the others judge. You know why they judge? Because our prophecy is not perfect. Our understanding is not perfect. And so I am not offended if somebody disagrees with me. And I will do everything I can if I feel like there's a little bit of a different opinion or whatever. I will purposely not bring anything argumentative. And we'll wait and let God straighten the thing out for us. Isn't that what it's all about? God's in charge. Let him take care of it. Let him straighten it out. We're on a quest. And the quest, you know what the quest is? To find truth. You know what the real quest is? To find all truth. And what are my chances? I'm a human being. I'm limited. I can only contain so much. And I think that even throughout eternity that we're going to be taking in more information and more understanding. And that scripture that I started out with, or one of the first ones, it says that, that the wisdom of this world is foolishness. Why? But what about the great aerospace experts and the great computer system, Seymour Cray abilities that some men have? What about all of these things? You know what? The greatness of whatever they have ever come up with is still foolishness to God. Because his understanding and his wisdom and his creative nature is so far beyond anything that exists. We are as nothing. No wonder he has to humble himself to behold heaven and earth. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as we start thinking we're something, we become his enemies. As soon as we exalt ourselves, no wonder the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm going to sit down just because I feel myself kind of rambling here a little bit.
I only want to jump up while it's fresh in my head from what just got said, but I was sitting and thinking before, well, this week and stuff, and why, like, I keep bouncing back to the prophets. And what kind of came to my thought here in the, either this morning or yesterday or whatever, which Keith brought right away, said, I think, you know what? I think we're going to be prophets. That was exactly what I was getting from why I was in the prophets. Because there's still a lot that has been prophesied that hasn't happened. And why would we have these thoughts if it wasn't going to be? See, that can sound dumb to some people, but, oh, that's because you're thinking you want to be. No, I was not thinking I wanted to be. You know? Because there's some things that go along with that that probably I'm not too open to yet, like persecution and everything else, you know. But at the same time, there's this thing deep down in that says this is going to be proclaimed. You know, the word of God, the truth of God, and it's said all through. Always that's what he was trying to bring. First he was trying to bring them back to him. But he always used, he says, you've went away from my statutes and my laws because you didn't want to know me. You know, and you know, you wanted to know these idols and everything. Well, what have they said back to you? Have they moved? You know, I mean, he uses simple things. And then that thought that just came to me when he said God had to humble himself, has to humble himself to, you know what? That is a wonderful thing of God. It isn't like he disdained doing it. What does it mean to be humble? He humbled himself to behold heaven and earth. All of a sudden, that just took me in a whole different way than I've ever seen it. You know, that's this God who's so powerful and mighty, but yet so sensitive and loving and caring. You know, and I tell you, I got a little excited, and I don't know if I'll try to go into it. And it may not mean anything to you guys, but it's doing something for me. But you know, I brought up so often about in Revelations, it talks about the two olive trees. And then there's the two anointed ones that go on the earth and da-da-da. Well, I was reading in Zechariah, and it says there's two olive branches or whatever. And And it says, the answer is, it says, they are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord over the earth. And I don't know. The only way I can see that, where's the only other reference to olive branches? It's in Romans 11, where we're grafted in and with the natural. See, I think there's a day coming when God's people, the Jew, the Israelite, is going to be anointed and proclaiming, and then there's us who are grafted in are going to be proclaiming. Can you imagine how powerful that would be? You know? I mean, because I think he's saving something for the end that's going to be mighty, you know? I mean, obviously he is. It's going to be a glorious thing. And so I'm kind of, you know, I'm just leaving it open to see if that becomes clearer more so or not. But if you do, you know, if you read there, because it starts in Daniel, so, you know, and there's the branch, and that's referring to Christ, because he says, I'm going to send thy branch. And so Daniel, let me make sure it's Zechariah. Yeah, Zechariah, not Zephaniah. So Zechariah, and then reading Revelations. And it just seems like maybe it's the Lord's letting it become, you know, starting to tie it in a little bit. But because it doesn't make sense to me how two men, every time I read that about the two that are on the earth and then they're killed and they lay in the streets, you know, can having this effect on the whole world. But it keeps making it sound so like two singular people. And I'm thinking, but what if it's two, like, peoples, you know? Like the Gentile who's come into the kingdom and then the Jew that's come into the kingdom, you know? But see, I don't know. it's still up to God to make that clear, if he wants to make it clear. So I'll sit down for now, too. So.
I beat anybody that was trying to get up. So that's pretty good, huh? I want to make a comment. And I don't know who this was. Maybe Joel was telling me. I'm not sure. About hearing a well-known minister that was saying that there's an increasing number of people that are beginning to realize that Jesus was a man. And he wanted to warn. Was that you, Joel, that was telling me? I think so, yeah. And he just wanted to warn people that if they don't believe in the Trinity, they're going to go to hell. So anyway, allows me, you know what I just did? A strange thing. I was looking for something else, and I read the first chapter of Revelation when I was sitting up in the front. And I thought, how anybody can label him as anything except a man that God honored? I would like to know how they did it. Just the first chapter of Revelation. And what is, and that's all I just read that. And I thought, how we do what we do it because we are pre-programmed. We're programmed for something. That man that said, or the minister that said, except if you don't believe in the Trinity, he's programmed. Been there, done that. And so, in his mind, if you don't believe in the Trinity, you'll go to hell. But that's not scriptural. That's a programmed thing. You follow what I'm saying? He's just set up for it. I mean, I've never been quite in that to that degree, but I have promoted the Trinity. I promoted the goofy oneness thing that the UPC promotes right now. And so, I mean, also, I'm familiar with it. I kind of know where we're at, but it's a good thing to have the scriptures begin to make us free. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you're first you're my disciples, And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Does it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I experienced a whole big degree of freedom this morning in the first chapter of Revelation. It's like I didn't want to set it down. I wanted to reread it and reread it and reread it. Because if anything makes Jesus Christ a son, the Son of God as a man, it's that chapter. I never saw it until this morning. Is that strange? How it works? And that revelation that has begun to come our way, that Jesus is a man, and it's, I mean, the scriptures support it from one end to the other, that is a major, major revelation. And the prophets well proclaimed that. They proclaimed it from Genesis to Revelation, and is God going to raise up people in this hour that are going to proclaim that? Of course he is. You know why? It is a salvation step. It's just not just some incidental little thing along the way. It is a major, major salvation issue. Anyways.
I was inspired or something by what Ken was bringing regarding the two witnesses, the the two trees, and yeah, I think it ties together. I think that ties together. But whatever it is that the Lord has in mind, boy, I want to be part of that thing. Oh, I want to be part of that. If there is some proclaiming to do, if the truth will set us free, Lord, don't arrange things so that I don't shrink back from that. Arrange things so that I don't have priorities that go ahead of that. Lord, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be the one that proclaims and then let the chips fall where they may. You know, whatever happens. I'm not as old as Keith, but I'm getting up there. And I can't think of better things to do with myself than that, you know, than to be the proclaimer and have things be all turned upside down on account of that. I keep thinking of the book of Joel, where the army before them is a Garden of Eden, behind them is a desolate wasteland. And I guess we're supposed to create a desolate wasteland, you know? That, of course, is the world that is foolishness in response to God's wisdom. That foolishness should be rendered a wasteland. But, that's quite a charge. That is quite a charge to go before a Garden of Eden and then turn around and cause it to be a desolate wasteland. One more thing, and I'll get down. I was thinking about the scripture that talks about how we are to bless the Lord. You know? And you think about that a little bit, and you wonder, how is that going to happen? I can understand being blessed by the Lord. You know? That I'm familiar with. But how do we bless God? How do we do that? You know? I think, if we worship Him and plead. I think it was tying in some with what Keith had to say regarding God humbling himself to behold heaven and earth, I suppose. But just the same, that humbling process so that God is in some way better off than he was because we blessed him, that is really humbling. Mm-hmm. It's humbling
to do that.
And maybe I don't thoroughly understand that word bless, you know. But I think it is to make somebody better off than they were before. You know? Well, when they're blessed, they're better off. How are we supposed to make God better off than he was before? You know, that is, it's astonishing to think that that could be. Mm-hmm. And the only way that I can get a grasp of it is that there is a humbling that he does to permit that to happen that I just don't have a good grasp of.
Sorry, I'm back up again right away, but that hit another note. I, for a long time now, don't know why, but every time I lay down and put my head on my pillow, I say, bless God. Bless you, Lord. And I probably don't understand what that means either. But if nothing else, I was sitting there thinking, as you were sharing, Charlie, that maybe it makes him greater in our mind when we do that. You know that. Because, yeah, what can you do for God, you know? And maybe it's what it does for us when we acknowledge, you know. And that's what I feel. It's just like, bless you, Lord, for one, that you're my God, that you didn't do me in today or whatever. You know, of course, now I'm not so concerned about that anymore, but not for the right reason, you know. And then, you know, this about the humanity of Christ. Last Sunday night, we were, you know, I was here and, and during what Keith was bringing, stuff came, and I was thinking, you know, rather than always showing that what he is not, if you look at the scriptures and you put him there and you say, if he's a man, does it line up with scripture? And then you start reading, and you'll see all the scriptures that say he's a man. Yeah, and if you say he's God, how many scriptures are there? Well, I'll give you one that will cancel it right away. And we talked about it Sunday night. The fact that if you comprehend that God is spirit, that right there,
yes, it does.
That just right there, he has never shown himself in a form. Himself. I believe. I don't think there's... If the burning bush, well, there was a burning bush, but then a voice came from it. And then later, there was an angel there. So he always used something to... If he wanted a form, it was either an angel or man. Right? So if you go with that, but now it takes a revelation to receive that. See, if you say God is spirit, then there is no more gray man, beard, whatever you think you've had him sitting on the throne... That's gone. It's not there. It's only cause and effect that he will let you know that he's around. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll know in your mind sometimes that God is dealing with you. Or maybe even speaking to you. Not in an audible voice, but you know his presence is there. And then if you take the scripture that says... When Jesus spoke to, when he came back and spoke to his disciples, does a spirit have flesh and bone? Isn't that backing up God is spirit? He has no flesh and bone, but I do. That's what he was saying. You know, so those things, but you know what? Till it's opened up to people, you know, but it takes someone speaking at first. Because God will prepare the heart that wants to hear and is supposed to hear, you know, but it still will have to be spoken. And one quick thought, and I'm probably done for the time, but I was thinking about religions, you know, and I thought about I think it's a Muslim or whatever, the one that now when they say, well, if I die, I go to heaven and get how many virgins? Now stop and think about that. Are you kidding me? That's what heaven is? Is that the thought of a man? Is that the thought backed up by a spirit telling man something, like the evil one, that would be thinking of that? First of all, what about marriage? Why are, when you go to heaven, you get all a bunch of virgins when you're only supposed to be, you know? Yeah, and that's in their religion, I believe. So, you know, if you take any religion, it's whatever their reward is, and some of them don't even have one, it's just live a wonderful life. Yeah, and then what? You know? Live a one, you know, that's the one thing that kind of took me out of AA in a sense. It was like, well, yeah, you get sober, great. And it's helpful, believe me, for families. But then what? You know, if you don't have eternity, you know, so, yeah, you do have to get straight, but that's not the end. That's not your life. I mean, it is your life, but that shouldn't be your ultimate goal anymore. But, you know, so, I even went back, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but if you take that move, that move had the same underlyings as the virgins in heaven, it was based on, you know, it was based on what man thought he wanted that would be a great reward, but it was in the flesh, you know, it was in the flesh. I had a thing happen yesterday, but I don't know if I should relate it because it was in a very awkward place. But it was the craziest thing. I don't know. Bear with me. It's crazy. Okay, so I go into Woodman's, right? I want to get some bars and stuff, you know. Ended up having to go to the restroom in a stall. So this is what makes it weird. So I'm there, and there's a person next to me, and they're standing, you know, like they're ready to leave, and he's on the phone. And he's talking, he's just going, oh, yeah, yeah. So the other person's doing a lot of talking, you know. And I'm wondering, well, why isn't he leaving? You know, I mean, you know, you can put your phone and, you know. And all of a sudden, he starts saying something like, well, you know, when you get born and then you receive the Spirit and there's, and it was like, and as he was sharing that, his voice got louder. And it was like, it was just weird. And I thought, this person wasn't forgive me if I use titles, but a Lutheran or a Baptist or whatever. It was somebody that knew about being filled with the Spirit. And it kind of shocked me because I haven't ran into many people like that lately, you know. Of course, I've probably been where they are, maybe. But it was just the craziest thing, you know. It's like, and then I'm thinking, you know, and there's the blowers are going and things are flushing. I'm thinking, what's the person on the other end wondering where this guy is? Because it's embarrassing to get a phone call when you're there, you know. I've had that happen, and sometimes I don't answer, but I remember Pam called me one time, and I'm trying to talk low, and it's like, anyway, so, but just, I just thought, now why did that happen, you know, and it's so, for whatever it's worth.
This week I didn't have much for work, and when I don't get a chance to listen to the scriptures. I don't listen to them at home. It's impossible. It's just so I miss listening to the truth. I do. I'm a little bit, you know, in my truck, but what is that? Anyways, when you guys were sharing, there was something I wanted to share last week that I forgot. I'm gonna share it about God in the burning bush and you know His Spirit. And you know, in Hebrews he says, you know, God, He first spoke through the prophets, and then He spoke through Jesus. You know, but what God is, He's just when He manifests Himself, He's just a speaker. You know what I mean? You don't see Him in a shape. You know what I mean? So when you know that God is a spirit and that He's just a speaker, He's not a man. You can't put Him into flesh and bones. You know, therefore you cannot make Jesus God. Anyways, something else I wanted to share last week. When Jesus made he fed thousands of people with a couple of loaves of fish, a couple of loaves of bread, and a couple of fish. And according to my understanding of what you can see there, is that he's talking to the disciples. You know, I don't think all the thousands of people could listen. You know, I don't know. So he's saying, okay, let's go feed them. And they said, well, we don't have enough bread or fish. So, well, let's just pray for it. And then everything multiplied. And they all ate. And anyways, the point I wanted to make is that I understand that the thousands that ate, I don't think they knew that it was a miracle what had just happened. The disciples very well knew because he was just communicating with the disciples, like multiply, I mean not multiply, but just go feed them, and I don't know. So the disciples knew there was a miracle, but the eaters did not know what just had happened. And you know, and the reason why I believe that is because if they would have known, I think it would be written that it, and they knew and they praised God or something, I don't know. And it's not. Anyway, so the point I wanted to make is that how many miracles, how many things are happening around us that we don't know it's a miracle. Okay, how many things is God doing for us that we don't realize that he's doing? You know, God knows it's a miracle, and for us it's just every day. But so what I was telling this to Candy is like, you know, we need to be more thankful, because we always say we need to be thankful that we wake up in the morning and thank you for today's breath and the sunlight and whatever. But when you think about the loaves and the bread and what God did and the people did not know it, you really need to be thankful for where you're at right now, because God is in control of everything. So we could get hit by lightning every day, but God is keeping us from that, or sicknesses or anything. Because we are God's people, we are being kept, you know. And how many people are like Paul the Apostle? He was a murderer. He was just a murderer. But, you know, he could have got killed. I mean, everybody wants to kill a murderer. I mean, so he could have got killed. But God kept them. That was a miracle that God kept them. And then later, now look at him. You know what I mean? So, because of who we are, what we are, God is doing the miracle of keeping us saved until we understand what He wants us to tell us. You know what I mean? If we would have all died, can you imagine, 20 years ago or something? I don't know. I don't know that we would have been in the right place with God. So He is keeping us. Because He is keeping us because there's He wants to shape us before we are ready to die. That is a miracle. It's because that's going to save our souls. It is a miracle that we are standing looking at each other's face right now, and we don't see it like it, just like the people that ate the fish and the bread. They had no idea it was a miracle, but Jesus knew, the disciples knew. So anyway, so I just wanted to share that. I was going to share it last week.
Let's look at the first chapter of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Where did it come from? Where did he get this revelation? God gave it to him. To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And, okay, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. What do you mean, witness? And the first begotten of the dead. What do you mean? And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he comes with the clouds. Every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. And then he says, the Almighty, and which throws people off. And I, John, who also am in your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, who was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. The first in the last, what you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden sticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a girdle, golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were like, white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto the fine brass as they burned in a furnace, his voice as the sound of many waters. And what we have, and as you keep reading it, we have a glorified Son of Man. I've asked Susan, because Susan has really good handwriting, to make me a banner. And I didn't until this morning. I realized how I want it done. And it's going to be something a little bit different than what I have ordinarily do, and yet it says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, and that's what I wanted to write down, because that is a foundational verse for a major doctrinal issue. It's a foundational verse. And see, the kingdom of God is built on a man. Last week I used the word flesh, and that's not right, because the flesh is gone. But the kingdom of God is built on a man, like unto his brethren. And so we need to have an understanding of who is this? Who is Jesus Christ? Is he a glorified man, or is he a deity? What is he? And the scriptures are very plain as to his identity. It's very easy to from the scripture. But you know what? You've got to see it before you see it. If you don't see it, it can stay hidden from you forever. And a lot of people are never going to see it because they won't let it happen. And so in that scripture, in 1 Timothy 2, 4, and 5, here's what it says. And I'm doing this a little strange in there, and Susan's probably already noticed that I had written it down, and I'd asked Joanne to copy it so she could read it, and she said, I think she could read it, so we left it. But anyway, here's what it says. God's will, number one, is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what happens? The "and" makes us forget and miss the first part. So what I did is, here's the way it's worded. God's will is for all men to be saved, and God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Write it down, because people miss that vital sentence. You follow what I'm saying? They miss it. But that's what it means. The word "and" meant what I just said. It's God's will for all men to be saved. It's God's will for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then, in verse 5, it says, for, you know what this is? This is a plain scripture of a major, major issue. Now, what I did, because somebody blessed me with this little 8 translation thing, I've noticed that there are some issues, some things in there, where each one of the translations says something different. But in the major issues, that being one, every single translation says the same thing. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And it is God's will that all men should come to the knowledge of this truth. I didn't change any words, but I could have. God's will that all men should come to the knowledge of this truth. Because that's what it's saying. For, which is, therefore, verily. I mean, these are the words that are used in my concordance. So, what is this issue? Now, the thing about it, here's what I noticed. And having this little translation or different translation thing, I noticed that there are several main issues. What it did to me was this. In the things that matter, nobody has been able to change the truth. Do you follow me? In things that are in immaterial, insignificant, not that vital, they'll come up with different things. For instance, in John 1:18, where it says, and this is what I wanted Charlie to, he's kind of good on the manuscript and stuff, or a little bit anyway, to see if we had some later translations. You know, a manuscript that maybe was introduced like 300 years after the first ones were. We have later ones, don't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what we have is a difference in, especially verse 18, John 1:18, and in here, in some of it says, "But the only begotten Son, who himself is God, they have that right in the scriptures, and then there'll be like a little C or something. Then you look down below, and it'll say, some translations say only begotten Son. And I'm thinking, where did these other translations come from? Were they a later translation after the Trinity was introduced, or where did it come from? Do you follow what I'm saying? And so, but the thing that, you know, the Bible says, you'll know the truth, and truth will make you free. I have been set free or made free in some major issues. One of them is in the eternal security thing. Because now I have slowly inside of me somewhere have come to the realization that by foreknowledge, God predestinates. By foreknowledge, God knew. Because that's who he is. And I can't comprehend that because this is who I am. I'm a creation by an awesome creator who is in a totally different realm than I am. So he can know before we ever went to Seattle. Clive Cerasi had already seen a vision with the backside of me in that vision. Does God know what's coming ahead of time? Do you understand what I'm saying? He spent 40 or 50 years of his life wandering around trying to get, you know, looking for a city whose builder and founder was God. And he didn't find it, but I tell you what, his life was wrapped up in God's Word. He loved it. I'll show you. If you ever want to see his Bible like I have it, you got to kind of put the pages back together because he's worn them out. Every sentence anywhere in the Bible is underlined. He saw something in there that affected him, and he underlined it. And I didn't ever appreciate it. But I mean, it's like, does God know ahead of time what's coming? Does God know what's going to happen here down the road? And here we are. We're sitting here trying to hang on, you know, a handful of people, and the devil is put pressure on us and things are happening, but you know what? God is still setting us up for what he wants. And the revelation is, I'm not in charge. He's going to do what he's going to do, and what he wants us to do is to submit to him and to follow him, and we are co-workers together with him, the Bible says. So anyway, as I read that, the first chapter of Revelation, I saw Jesus. Here he is, the man that God glorified. And it says, how does it say that? That one sentence here, it says that he, from Jesus Christ, who was a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. See?
No, the New King James says priest to his God and Father.
Oh, unto his God and his Father. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what it is. So anyways,
first, God is good all the time. All the time God is good. I have a testimony. My little company has been struggling and was struggling more so than usual this past week. But God fixed that. You just, things happen that just don't always happen. And I'm just giving that and praising God for that.
Lord, yes.
You know, I've been listening today, and I got to admit, I'm just struggling with how I, as a man, can bless God, a spirit. So I went off the old computer phone and looked and searched the world wide to see where it says how God, how I can bless God. Closest thing I could find is James 3:9, which says, I bless the Father by my tongue, by praising Him. Which, that I got. Yeah, I would have said, I please the Father by doing His will. That's a blessing then to Him, so be it. And it's different than how we talk about God blessing us with health or with favor or with whatever, because I'm certainly not giving God, I can't bless God with health or favor or anything else, because it doesn't, my natural mind says, I don't know what you think you're doing. And I come back to the one line, the song that we used to play a lot, which is the revelation of who He is and of who we are. And so, I'm not saying we can't bless God. I'm just saying I'm not there yet. I can please my Father by making choices that He hopes that I make. And if that ends up being a blessing, so be it. I'm just telling you where I'm at. I'm not saying I've got it. You know, we have been blessed by God with the revelations we have. You know, and one of the things that occurred to me today when we're looking at Scripture is, you know, think about it. When man writes something, a book, a cleverly written mystery or story that's got subplots and surprises and twists, you know, you read that two or three times and there's nothing new. You got it. You never stop learning. You never stop seeing something new from the Word. And I can't think of a better illustration of who He is and who we are than acknowledging that the Word never stops changing. There's always more revelation. I would be so bold to say it's probably infinite in the natural. I don't know that we can ever get there. Now, Jesus, with the fullness of God, maybe He did. I don't know. But there were even things there that led you to believe that Jesus still was not 100% sure where the Father was going to go all the time. So, but my point is, when I think of where I am and who I am and how blessed I am, we don't know that yesterday was going to be our last day, but God blessed us. And sometimes you get an inkling for that when something happens and it isn't bad, but it could have been, but you were able to get to see that. You weren't in the accident, but you saw the accident, and God's favor kept you from being in the accident. In my case, God kept me busy, and I wasn't even on the road when the accident happened, but I should have been. Work got in the way. Yeah, I don't know. I should have been there at 9:30, but I was late, and at 10 o'clock there was no problem. And I only say that as an illustration to what's been brought as to, are there miracles that take place, and are there miracles that take place that you don't even recognize are miracles? And I say amen. Yes, I believe there are. Loaves and the fishes, sure. I mean, even later scriptures said Jesus chastised those folks and says, you're not here to learn about the Father, you're here for a free meal. I'm paraphrasing. But, so, they didn't obviously recognize it as a miracle the first time, and the second time they were looking for seconds. And if all they had to do was hear the man talk, well, that was okay. So clearly, everything isn't as it seems. And with God, I think that's exactly what it is that we have to walk away with. There's a line in the song that I've grown to really become very encouraged by, and you know, we're born to thrive. And there's a one line in that song that just gets me every time I hear it is, we're digging deep into His Word to know the Father's heart.
Beautiful.
And I kind of have grabbed onto that and go, that is a very few words that succinctly says exactly where we are. We're digging deep into God's Word to know the Father's heart.
Oh, that's excellent.
And isn't that what we're doing? Yeah. It's the heart to know the Father. It's the heart to know the Father. And where do we know that? By going to His Word. And how do we get that? By continually going to His Word. And then, why is it different from last month to this month? Because of who God is. And we do not get the revelation. It is quite possible, and I accept openly, that what our role here and what God has done with showing us the true cities He's given to us and blessed us with is that maybe we're just supposed to be prophets. In a way, we're all prophets. Of course, there's good prophets and there's not as good prophets, and so we obviously want to be prophets that are speaking God's truth. And you can't do that without being deep into the Word and God showing you. And there's certainly plenty of examples of people who claim they were listening and speaking God's heart or what God told them to do and weren't. Mm-hmm. Because their flesh wouldn't allow them to admit that God's not using them. We have to be ready to say, I don't know. God hasn't shared that with me yet. I don't know. Fewest words you ever hear someone say, especially in Christian circles, I don't know. Most places, if you don't know, we make it up. We tie it to two or three scriptures, and then we go, and I can prove it. Because I'll take two scriptures out of the entire Word of God to make a point or make a doctrine. You know, the greatest revelation that I think we've gotten is that it's the entire work. It's the entire Word. Don't hang your faith on two or three things. Hang your faith on the whole Word. Put your heart to the whole Word. And as we know, there are things that there are things that I'm not ready to do that the Word clearly says I need to do. You know, that's a hard saying. I'm not walking that saying. I'm not living it yet. But my Father has put it in me that it's in my heart that I want to be. And if I continue to be in a place where I want to be doing His will and want to be what He wants me to be, then I believe I can please the Father. That pleasing turns out to be a blessing unto Him. That's how He's taking it. I'm just trying to do His will. And I think that's all His Son did. Just tried to do God's will. Nothing more. It's no extra credit. And in the natural, we're always trying to find a way to get to 102%. Just a little insurance. I just want to get to 100 with God's help. So, God is doing miracles. We see them every day. I see them in you all the time. You all are a huge blessing to me all the time. You enable me to go through the valleys because, you know, how when we're walking along and things are bad and things are tough, you know, before I had God, I realized that, I'm really being singled out. God is really wailing on me. I can't say that anymore because I just go, Job kind of had it worse. You know, Job had it worse than you did. You don't got a leg to stand on. And you got to get on the floor and repent. Get on your face and repent for even thinking how bad it is for you. Because it's not. It only feels that way. Because I'm still flesh. And then my father does things like he did this week. And I go, he can do anything. I have to have faith in him.
If the Father loves you, can you love him back? And I don't know if this truly applies, but in Ephesians, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And then in Revelations, because I just looked this up in the concordance, kind of. It says in Revelation 5:13, "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." I'm not going to say anything other more than that. Can I go back just for the heck of it? Not for the heck of it, but... That was a bad choice. natural. to Revelations, that first chapter. You know, as much as you need to see when there's an and, there's other things like... So I'm going to go in verse 4. "John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace." Now, here's where you have to listen. "Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne." If you go later on in Revelations, the seven spirits that are before God, who is on the throne, you know, that's what it says. So, the distinction, who is, who was, and who is to come, is God who always has been. He just is, right? And if there's beginnings, it's because he began them, right? I mean, in our world, or whatever. Okay, so it says, you know, who is, who was, and who is to come from the seven spirits who are before throne, and then it says, and from Jesus Christ, and then it gives a description of him. Faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings that are to him loved and watched us. So, and then it goes down, and so, okay, it says, has made us kings and priests, and like I said in the New King James, it says, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever, amen, period. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him, even so, amen, period. Now, this is the one that, see, we accept automatically that all the words written in red are what Christ spoke. That was something established by who? Right?
Amen.
Yeah. Now it says in verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and then that's in red, and then in black lettering it says the Lord. But then it says, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Who is the Almighty? So I wrote there, who is speaking? Because to me, that is God. Now, I'm just saying this for me, okay? To me, that says it's God. Then John below here in verse 11, well, John says in 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see right in the book. So that's got to be Jesus, right? Because it's in the beginning it says Jesus, revelation, which he gave God to show him his servants, and it was shown to John. So he says, what you see right in the book, send it to seven churches, da-da-da-da. Okay. Now, the confusion is because it's using Alpha and Omega here also. But it's not saying who is, who was, and who is to come. It's just saying the first and the last, which Jesus is the firstborn of the dead, and he'll be the last. So, actually, the term Alpha and Omega can be used either way with either one. You know, and God using it, he's not really saying, I have a beginning, but I am the one that makes all beginnings, you know, and I'm the last one that will make anything. You know, that's kind of, now that might be my interpretation. So, you know, you have to, that's the part that, to me, I just think they made an assumption and put it in red lettering, you know. But it doesn't agree with everything else in Revelations, because later on it makes the same reference of who is, who was, and who, you know, and it's always speaking of God. So, and I didn't, believe me, I didn't come up with this, because I was just reading along, and all of a sudden it's like the Spirit said, go back and read that and look. This is not the same as this, you know. It's just like it got pointed out. I didn't see it, you know. So, and when you go through all the Revelations in the first few, like 5, 6, 7, describing the throne and stuff, you have to really read it careful, because there's distinctions there that normally you just go over. But I believe that God's enhancing our spirit to see things, you know. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, wait a minute. That's not saying what I thought it was saying. You know, which that's, how often has he done all of that with scriptures to us in the last 10 years or whatever? You know, I mean, that's you know, that's why, in a way, I think about all the stuff nowadays, all the stuff you see on TV and everything, it all has to do with witchcraft and magic and da-da-da. Well, you know what? There's a lot of, it's not witchcraft, but there's a lot of stuff in here that is hard. I mean, it's like, it's, there's a word I'm trying to find that kind of makes it neutral for these things to be, you know, that look supernatural. There's supernatural stuff in here. I mean, the fact that if you just sit down with a flesh mind and read it, it's black and white. You get a lot of good out of it. Oh, I know. It's secretive. See? Because until you see that, if you become a little child and open up to God, he opens up this secrets that everybody doesn't see. And you can kind of put a thing with it that goes, ooh, you know? Because it is. It's supernatural. And that, how do you explain that sometimes? You know, that's hard. I mean, you don't want to track people because, but you know the one thing that I like to say? Do you want God to teach you. God himself to teach you. You know what? We never heard that before. You know, it's go hear this, go hear that, and learn, and go to Bible studies and be taught the Word of God. Now we're finding out that God says, I will teach. And you know what? He says it in. He prophesied that in the end, every man will know the Lord. No one will have to teach him. Because the Lord will teach him. It says that. So are we out of hand? No. We just found out some of the secrets that God had in this word that he's opening up, you know. And just a dumb thought, you know, I was thinking, okay, Jesus Christ. Now, when he was on this earth, he didn't know everything the Father was doing. And he says, I don't know when the day is, the last day even. But now, he's in heaven, glorified. Does he know everything? I mean, does he have all truth? He's a man.
You know, we just have some unanswered questions here. Let me read the first verse of Revelation there. It says, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that must surely come to pass. Signified it by his angel unto his servant John. John did the recording here. But this is a revelation that God gave to Jesus Christ. Well, who's doing the talking? You know? If it is a prophetic statement, it's like prophecy, that the speaker is saying I when the I is God. You know? I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord. And who is this Lord anyway? You know, often we refer to as Jesus, but Lord. I remember when I was in Peru, going to an evangelical church service, and the only word I could make out was Señor. Kept referring to Señor. I know it's Lord, you know, that was, in Spanish, Señor is Lord. Am I right about that, Pablo? Yeah, okay. So, which could refer to either Jesus or God, I suppose. You know. But anyway, there's just, you know, the uncertainty here is just great. It's just great uncertainty. If it is a revelation that Jesus got from God, which verse 1 here says it is, then maybe it's Jesus that is reporting that he Jesus is the Alpha Omega, Alpha and Omega. Maybe it is, well, who's to say? Who's to say? I don't think this is anything close to a proof scripture of the divinity of Christ.
Just as a little note, the beginning and the end says the Lord, then there's a little, you know, small B which you go down and you read, and it says that two of the different texts omit the beginning and the end. So it's
well, I for one am very thankful. Whether, you know, I'll just say something about the small beginnings or whatever. After a while, it gets past the small beginnings. It gets into bigger beginnings or bigger something. But I am so thankful for what God is doing. And thankful that even though I'm going to turn 80, I'm not missing it. I could have missed this. And some of the things that are happening to me are profound. You know, they're profound things. And one of the things is the issue of, well, which translation should I use? Well, how do I know that there aren't things that are really misinterpreted and changed in the Bible and so forth? And so, anyway, I tell you what happened to me in this area, because that's a big one. There's a lot of people that say, which translation should I use? Well, you know, I mean, there's a word in the King James, one letter, that changes something in the minds of people that it so happens that that's the only translation that's in. And you know what? When I saw that, the difference, and realized that it was just, it's not an issue. But God, it says in King James, God is a spirit. You know what happens when you have the word in it? It limits God. You know, Ken is a man. That limits it, you know what I mean? We couldn't say, well, Ken is man. I mean, you could say that, but I mean, there's a difference in you put the word a in and you limit it to a person. See, God is a spirit. God is not a spirit. He's the only one that we can talk about that is not have the word a in front of. God is spirit. And the strange thing about it, I mean, it takes a while before this begins to function in us. But out from God came everything that exists. The Bible says that. Out from God. All spirits came out from God. All things that are created came out from God. It came from Him. And so now we see, when I saw that God is spirit and not an image, you can't make an image of God because you don't have anything in you that can make it. There's not anything we can comprehend that will cause us to know what God looks like. But down through the years, I have seen God as sitting on a throne, you know, old white-haired whatever, and this is God. Well, you know what? That's not. You can't make an image of God. God is spirit. And supernaturally powerful, all everywhere present. And he came up with a son. For our eternal life's sake, God produced a son. Well, you know what? You got to begin to understand that. And I begin to understand the spirit. See, eternal life, life eternal is to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. Is that really eternal life? Is it really an issue? It says that it is. If you want eternal life, get to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. So Paul comes along and he says, oh, that I might know Him. He didn't say God the Father, although that is the ultimate bottom line goal, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, that's not God, the fellowship of His suffering, that's not God, and being made conformable to His death, the three things. Not one of them is God. All of those is with a man somehow. And so we have to know Him as a man. As a glorified man. As the man that overcame. He says, as I overcame, you can overcome. As I overcame and am sat down with my Father in His throne, you overcome. If you will overcome, you can sit down with me in my throne. I don't quite get the whole picture there, but what I'm saying is, because of the intake of this thing, you know what just happened? The teacher has become involved that we didn't even know was available. I didn't know that. The Holy Spirit comes in the wee hours of the night or whenever it is, and you're listening to the Scriptures, and Pablo's out, you know, at work, and he's listening to the Scriptures, and he doesn't see him because he's invisible. But all of a sudden, here comes this revelation. Here comes this understanding. Here comes this thing, and you think. And I've told Joanne, I said, I don't know where that come from. And she said, and this, it's been humorous as we've talked. She says, I'm not that smart. You know what? Neither are you. I mean, I'm not going to put myself in this by myself. I'm going to include you in it. When the Spirit comes and begins to teach, it goes past anything in us that can understand. When I understood that man was not the one that put this together and kept it for my sake, and that God has put this in here just the way that he did, the translations are all part of God's plan, instead of thinking that man has been a culprit who has tried to disrupt what God is doing and tried to destroy it. God has left it. You want to get all messed up by some translations and some screwy things that you find in something? Go for it. If you want the truth, you fall on your face before God and you start listening. Listen to the New King James. Listen to the King James. Listen to the New American Standard. It doesn't matter. Because God has kept the truth issues in every single one. And that verse, Susan, that is the same in every translation that I can find. And that's why I have, and you know what I want? I want it up here, and I want it up in the other learning center, big enough for everybody that comes to my birthday party. If they knew ahead of time, some wouldn't come. You know, they'd come anyway, but let's come up to the front. And you know why? I'll tell you why I want it up. It's because when people, line upon line, precept upon precept, here little and there little, and if people see a truth over and over and over and over, a couple might be changed by seeing the truth. You guys went fishing early in the morning.
Yes, we went keyless. Did you turn that off?
No. Might as well get all of that on there.